We're talking today with Bart Fisher, who's the chief economist of the House Agriculture Committee in the U.S. Congress. And Bart, you've got obviously some roots in Oklahoma, and you've got roots in the FFA organization. Tell me a little bit about how did you get involved with FFA back in Southwest Oklahoma?
Sure. Well, I grew up on a farm just outside of Frederick, Oklahoma. I went to school over in Chattanooga, and from a very early age, I grew up helping my dad and my grandfather on our family farm, and so it was kind of a foregone conclusion that I was going to be involved in FFA when the time came. So I got an early start in 4-H with showing livestock, and then transitioned into FFA, showing cattle, limousine cattle, participating in speech contests, and then working on my SAE at home, which was my farming enterprise that I had alongside of my dad and my grandfather's. So kind of an all-around experience in FFA from the leadership side to the SAE.
So what are some of the highlights you remember from that FFA set of days?
I think one of probably the biggest highlights was the culmination, towards the end of my senior year. I was fortunate enough to be selected as the Star Farmer of Oklahoma back in 1998, which for me, growing up on a farm and being incredibly passionate about production agriculture, for that background in production agriculture and farming to culminate in that was very rewarding for me. It was kind of the highlight of my career.
As you went through FFA, you got the benefits of hindsight today. What were you learning during that time period?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, my time when I was in FFA was always focused on winning the next speech contest or winning the next show or winning, state office, winning the Star Farmer Award. And I think probably in hindsight, the ones that were most memorable were the times that I didn't, because they were the most instructive. And, my parents, my ag teachers, always were very big at teaching persistence, that if it didn't work out the way you intended, to pick back up and to move on. And there, I can point back to several times in my life where that happened. And I think that I'm where I am today in the position I am with the opportunities I have largely because of those times that actually didn't work out the way that I intended. So, and one of the best ones being, state FFA office. I ran for state office my senior year, ran for state secretary, ultimately wasn't elected. I was a big letdown, but instead of, letting that dominate me, I just picked back up and kept moving on, and here we are today. So.
As you wrapped up your senior year, not elected to an office, that meant that you were going to go ahead and pursue collegiate activities. What sort of path were you taking through the college years?
Well, I was always, obviously with my background, I was always been interested in agriculture, kind of set out going to OSU thinking that I might end up working in some facet of ag policy. I thought more along the lines of lobbying for agriculture at some point in the future. It ended up not taking that path. I took an accounting class my first year and decided I really liked that and wanted to tack it onto my ag econ degree. And by the time I ended up graduating, I had also tacked on finance and graduated with a triple major in ag econ and accounting and finance, kind of focusing more on the business side of agriculture. So,
and you did some postgraduate work too.
I did, yes, sir. That was, another one in keeping with this theme of persistence. I had applied for several scholarships for graduate study, several major national scholarships, made it to the final round in all of those. None of them ended up working out, wasn't selected for any of them, but again, sticking with the persistence theme, still pressed on to be able to go to grad school overseas at Cambridge University, and several OSU donors stepped up and ended up providing a scholarship for me to be able to go anyway. So it didn't work out as I had intended or expected, but ultimately ended up being able to go anyway.
With that that college, that educational base work, in other words, the groundwork that had been laid there, what was your career path in those early days then?
Well, after I graduated from Cambridge, I moved to D.C. I had the strong background in business, but still had a very strong interest, personal interest, in agricultural policy, knowing that everything that happens in D.C., ultimately filters down to all the people that I care about. So I set out working with the Government Accountability Office, GAO. I had interned with them in undergrad while at OSU. They had offered me a full-time job while I was over at Cambridge. So moved to D.C., started working for them, and spent 4 years as a senior analyst in their natural resources and environment team. But really, you know, I was working on reviewing programs in the federal government, which was a great, you know, overview, a great bird's eye view of how federal programs function, but wasn't able to work specifically on agriculture and wanted to get back into that. So at that point, I moved down to the Agricultural and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M to work full-time there, specifically on ag policy, and then also work on my PhD part-time.
Okay, so as you did all of those things, eventually you ended up back in D.C.
I did. Well, as I started down at Texas A&M in the fall of 2008, you know, my first project was on helping develop all the decision tools for implementing the 2008 Farm Bill, never dreaming that, you know, 3 or 4 short years later I'd be back in D.C. helping write the at that point, what looked like the 2012 Farm Bill that's ultimately turned out to be the 2014 bill. So, again, you never know which, you know, the twists and turns that life are going to take. But the goal is to be prepared for when they do. So.
Let's talk about a little bit about your involvement on the House Agriculture Committee, your role today. And relate it back to me to some of the things that you learned in FFA. What have you been able to maybe pull from that's helped you there at Longworth?
Sure. Well, most of my focus at the committee as the chief economist, I deal with most of the budget issues and kind of the liaison to the Congressional Budget Office, which is the arm of Congress that keeps all the official score or cost estimates for legislation. So that's a big part of my job, dealing with almost a $1 trillion budget for farm programs and nutrition programs in this country. But then also wear another hat on the policy side, and that is dealing with the farm safety net. So the traditional commodity programs in Title I, and also then crop insurance. And I think the strongest connection back, you know, there's really two ways I think that it connects. One is to my SAE growing up. You know, I spent the bulk of my junior high and senior high years sitting on a tractor by myself out in the middle of nowhere in southwestern Oklahoma, which gave a lot of time to think about the way that we do things in this country and how it affects people down on the ground level. And so I think that practical experience, you know, kind of try to bring that to bear every day when we're thinking about how the policies affect people on the ground. And certainly, you know, I'm fortunate to work for Chairman Lucas, who carries that perspective every day. How does what we do in D.C. affect the people back home that are living with those policies that are passed? And I think the other way, then, is on the leadership side of FFA. I'm constantly in front of very large groups. And by nature, I'm somewhat introverted, and I like messing with numbers, which is why I'm an economist. But I also find myself a lot of times in front of very large crowds and up on stage. And I remember back to my freshman year, starting out with the FFA Creed contest, how incredibly nervous I was walking into a room where the only 3 people in the room were, you know, or 4 people were 3 judges and myself, and remembering how nervous I was then. And that 4 years of going through those speech contests, getting, you know, building my confidence, getting used to being in front of crowds was an absolutely invaluable experience, so that today, you know, now I can stand up in front of, you know, huge crowds talking about farm policy, constantly have groups coming into D.C. that we're visiting with. And so that training, you know, has been incredible and enabled me to do what I do today.
Right. Now, you know, you alluded to the fact that when you didn't necessarily, some of those learning experiences came back to you when you didn't win a speech contest or competition. Persistence. You had to have a lot of persistence from 2012 to 2014.
Absolutely. No question about it. I think one of the biggest examples was, you know, this past summer, took the farm bill to the House floor for the first time. We had made two attempts previously, but finally took it to the House floor, and for the first time in history had a farm bill voted down on the floor of the House. And so kind of at every turn, there were seemingly setbacks, and the goal was to just keep pushing forward. And I think one of the best examples of that, we come back from the Capitol, and I'm, you know, having spent months and months working to get to that point, coming back from a no vote, you know, wondering what the path forward is, you know, and Chairman Lucas, without missing a beat, says we'll start again next week. And so it may just be an Oklahoma thing. I don't know. I know both of us grew up in FFA programs in Oklahoma, but you know, certainly learning from him too. And but absolutely, no question, it's taken quite a bit of persistence to get to this point, and ultimately culminating with the Farm Bill passing the House in late January. So.
Well, as you think about that career in FFA, with all the experiences you've had, collegiate, overseas, back in this country, highest halls of Congress, policymaking efforts. What does FFA mean to you today?
Yeah, I think Brab's the best example. I mean, I always, the saying, the proof is in the pudding. You know, my wife and I both are still very actively involved. We sponsor the state Ag Policy Speech Contest, and last year started sponsoring a student to come out to D.C. as part of the Washington Leadership Conference. And so, you know, I think that's a good way to tell how important it is, because that's where we choose to invest. Even 15 years, 16 years now after graduating from high school, we're still very connected back home, still sponsoring those programs, because we do know the incredible impact they have. And so my love for FFA and passion for FFA has not changed in 16 years, even though I'm that far removed from the program.
Within the Farm Bill itself, obviously, there were some programs that talked about beginning farmer-type programs, and that relates back to people that are getting some experience in a lot of cases with FFA and then trying to help them plug in.
Sure, no question. I mean, we constantly talk about the average age of the farmer in the United States and the need to transition to the younger generations. And so part of the focus of this bill was on expanding those opportunities and incentives for getting younger people involved in production agriculture. And so a lot of that, as you say, Ron, will translate to students who do have backgrounds in FFA who are looking at returning to the farm or even expanding on the farm there. So absolutely no question. And I think that FFA continues to play an incredibly important role in terms of education. And I know we're kind of expanding beyond traditional agriculture, and I think that's important, because particularly with the advent of social media, I mean, and that's the world you live in particular, in the news, you know, that people are incredibly well, and they may not be incredibly well informed, but they have a new outlet to make their opinions known worldwide. And so the need for us then to be able to educate, to counter some of that, is incredibly important. And I think FFA plays a huge role in that.